You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 43. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we look to you to deal with us according to your mercy and grace. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your presence. God, we want to learn and know more and more, better and better. Your wonderful person, your wonderful plan and purpose. We want to appreciate you more and more. We want to thank you more and more. We want to be involved more and more in your wonderful working, your wonderful plan, purpose for our lives, for your church, the body that belongs to you, for the world, for Israel. God, we're looking to you. So thank you very much. Help us in Christ's name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 43, if you would, we're looking at God. So, in God the Father. So, therefore, we'll do step 1, 2, 3, 4. Make sure we have the basics. Otherwise, we won't understand. You can use the term, but we need to understand it. So, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 43... picking up, if I may, please, if I can, in verse 10, 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So you've got to say it over and over again, not that he needs to. I am the only God, and I am the only Savior. Chapter 44. Chapter 44, going to verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There's no other God beside me. I'm the only one. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, remember now when you read Matthew 28 and verse 19 and all of such things, our Lord was to baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. God's wonderful person, singular. So God, you're the only person, you're the only one. And there's a little word called Father in the Old Testament, begetter, the first and second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Father, Av. Now, in the light of that, it means the begetter, the one who begets, to bring into being, to make something happen. Now, only God, the only Savior. Now, he is the Creator and the Savior, but he's God, Savior, Creator. He's the Creator. That's important, as we've shared repeatedly, reminding ourselves. You have to understand why you're here. Where did you come from? And if you're confused about that, people don't want to even ask that question. Why, who, where? We don't want to talk about it because we don't know. We ought to know. There are very wonderful questions that need answering. Now, in the light of that, wonderful thought, over, if you would, please, in your Bible to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. 102. And I remind you, all over the place, I'm just going to do a couple. Our system, often our theology, is not right. You need to line it up with what God has said, what we're to understand. So Psalm 102, as you know, verse 18, "This shall be written for the generation to come," all the people to be born, "and the people which shall be created," Genesis 1:1, "in the beginning God created, shall praise the Lord." So God, you are the creator, no question. Now, back over to Isaiah where you were. And having said that and keeping that in mind, Isaiah chapter 44, and picking up, if I may, in verse 2. 44, picking up, if I can, in verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jehurun," which means the upright one, Israel, "whom I have chosen." Verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." I'm the one that formed, created, fashioned you. I'm the one that did it. 57, chapter 57. Again, I'll give you a little context since it's so wonderful. 57, verse 15. "Thus saith the high and lofty one, the that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him, a believing heart, that is of a contrite and humble spirit." For what purpose? "To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive and make alive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls," that's the person inside, "which I have made, I have made them." Now, Genesis 2:7, God breathed into them the breath of life. He made them out of the dust of the ground. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, I want to understand that. So God, you're the only God, the only Savior, and you are the Creator. And we are created. Now, that's very important that you created us. You are the one that authored our existence and brought it into being. Mom and Dad provided the body and the rest, but you provided the soul and spirit. God, you made us. That's very important. So since you made us, you are the originator, you're the source, you're the father. Fathers are the beginning, make things happen. Fathers do. You can't have anything without a father to create. Now, over if you would here, while you're here, God, you have done that. You are the Father. You created us, and you want us to understand. You're the only God, the only Savior. You're the Creator. You're the only one. That's correct. Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Remember, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of his coming, born in Bethlehem of Judea, a child is born, 9:6, unto us a son is given, uncreated life. The wonderful God, the person of God, the Son. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is he? He's God in all of his wonderment. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, one wonderful essence, nature, being, and he expresses himself. by way of the Spirit of God, pointing to the Son of God, pointing to God the Father. The Father, when we honor you, God, we ought to understand, in order to get the impact, the movement, the wonderment, you are the Father of us. That's why we is. That's why we exist. You are the Father. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and thus your righteous rule and reign. Now, having said that, over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. And may I pick up again in thought? Remember now, chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And the first four commandments, Exodus 20, 1 through 11. And the first four commandments have to do with God. God, you're the only God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 3, I'm the only God. I'm the creator, so don't make anything created. Stars, moon, sun, anything, birds, beast. Don't make anything like me. I created them. Don't confuse the creator with that which is created. Therefore, have a clear understanding. That's what you understand. Israel, are you understand? Do you need to understand? Israel needs to understand at that point that God alone. In Egypt, you had a lot of gods. Not anymore. There's only one God. And all of those gods, Ramesses and all of the gods that line up in the system out there, in the cities. God, you're the only one. And all the pyramids you built, all the sacrifices, all the idols, that's all they are. Godless, without any God. There is no God. Now, in order, God, you want us to understand that. So you're the invisible, infinite God. That's correct. That's correct. Now, so therefore, in the Ten Commandments, you want us to be able to get to you. That's the whole purpose. So we can't fulfill them. All they are is a powerless rule. What God, this is what you'd be if you were on planet Earth as a human. Our Lord Jesus Christ represents this. The man, Psalm number 1, the man. Here we are, God, looking to you. Now, and thus, how are we going to understand you, the invisible God? Thus, verse 12, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So you need to understand, honor thy father and thy mother. That's what you need to do. You need to do that. So make sure that you do that, because that's where you came from. I created male and female, created I them. And thus, and they were to multiply children, male and female, and they were to multiply and have, and that's how you came. But I want you to know the system I've set up requires a male and female. Not two males and not two females. Nope, there's no way on earth. Two females, where's the father? Two fathers, where's the mother? You've got a terrible problem. Our society is faced with it. Add evolution to this ball, to the thing, and you've got a horrible situation for people trying to figure out how to get through all this. And then we just say, well, who knows? And no one knows the truth anyway, like Pontius Pilate. Who knows the truth in the light of all the stuff that's said out there? Well, you need to know it. And without knowing it, I'm not going to get along with you, God. So I need to, how am I going to start? I'm going to start with my father and mother. I have a father and mother. If I don't have one, I'm in trouble, and my whole life is going to be in trouble. And if I mess up father and mother, boy, I'm in trouble again. So we'll pick that up in a sec, maybe. Now, in the process of that, I honor my father. That doesn't mean they're good guys or bad guys. I just understand where I came from. I need to know, why am I here? Where did I come from? And God, that's, I had a mother and a father. I may or may not know them. I may not, all kinds of things. Good or bad, right or wrong. That's where I came from, a father and a mother. And I need to know that so that I understand, how am I going to get to God? If I don't understand father or mother, and I think I'm just an accident or some other stupid thing out here, then I'm not going to understand, and I'm left in much confusion, and then take the political system and everything else going on out here, and take all of that and add that into it, you're going to have a very volatile setting, not a good setting. Now, so here we are looking, and God, we honor our father and mother. That doesn't mean, that just means I recognize that's where I came from, and I understand that. I just need to do that, that's all. You don't have to figure out the good guys or the bad guys. I just need to know where I came from. I came from a male and female, which God created, and God created them so that out of which and by which, male and female, egg and seed, God will be able to have a body for a soul and spirit that he has created for a wonderful demonstration of everyone that was found in Adam. Every one of us are out of Adam. Adam is the source of all humans, seed, children, all born down the line of, through history. Now, having said that little bit, and the human relations require what? They require, human relations require God. Now, how am I going to go in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? How am I going to go and honor the human relations? How am I going to go and honor all kinds of relationships, male, female, husband, wife, brother, father, mother, father, work, home, school, people, society, government, rulers? Wow, how am I going to do that? Well, I can't do it. I can't do it, God, without you. Without you, it isn't going to be done. And therefore, I'm going to flunk. That's the whole purpose. You can't do it without God. How am I going to get to God? By understanding you're created, male and female, God. God's, that's God's process. And you're going to get to God. How are you going to get to God? By way of Adam, by way of Adam, who created him. That's how we're going to get to God, to know God in a most wonderful way. And thus, God, we're going to understand that. And if I don't look to you, God, then I'm not going to be able to exercise verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I'm not going to be able to exercise properly my relationships. Now, over, if you would, please, over to Matthew and chapter 22. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And in chapter 22, picking up, please, in verse 36, remember the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Now I'm going to do them. God said, I want you to understand them in the light of God's wonderful person. God, you meant us to grab hold of those Ten Commandments and look to you. When we look to you, the Ten Commandments we can't keep. All they do is condemn us like a big, tall rule of gold. And we get stand next to the rule, and we're way down here, and the world's way up there. And we can't measure. We can't measure up to it. That's right. God said, I want you to see the Ten Commandments, understand them, which is what we're trying to do. So God, if we look to you in the light of honoring father and mother, where we came from, chapter 22 of Matthew, you're going to say it to us, and to the Jews, verse 36, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And this is the first and great commandment. Now that's the first four commandments. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So God, you summed it up for us. It's all about when I get to you, God, and I look to you, I find God when I look to you with all my, you're the only God and you're the only Savior. And when I look to you and I understand that you created me and you have a wonderful plan and purpose for my life because you created me for that. Then I'm going to understand God when I do that, a relationship to you, which is now going to enable me for my relationship to earthly life, people coming and going, marriage and kids and everything else, children. Now, so I'm going to look to you, God, and I understand that. So society in the process is in unbelief and promotes a fatherless society. Remember the book, A Society Without the Father, written. And thus, God, what are you saying? Well, the gay and homosexual agenda and all of that, it opposes the reality, and opposes the rightness, and opposes reason. And so if I have that, I don't have a father, I don't understand, I have to have the father, literally, male, and I have to have female. That's the way it is. There is no substitute, there is no other solution, logically or otherwise. And if I lose that, then I have a trouble living in time. I'm trying to go to work, school, find myself and everything. And my problem with living in time is I'm not handling time well. And I know down in my gut, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, eternity is down in my heart. So I already know eternity, even though I don't want to talk about it. I know it. All kinds of philosophies and annihilation and different groups and cults and churches, except groups. But God, down in my gut, I know that isn't true. I know that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember now, there's no safe place, no sound, no solid footing. If I don't understand where I came from, I need solid ground to stand on. And you know that. You could have all kinds of wonderful things. But if you look back in your life and you don't have, and if you're looking for humans, to be father and mother, to measure up, and we don't, as we ought to at all, in no way, shape, or form. If we don't do that, if I leave that and I don't see it, get past that, I see that as a horrendous thing. My father was. Our mother was. And your opinion, your experience, how you're going to look at God the Father is based upon your experience and your understanding in your own life of men, of father. How did you understand your father? One of the, psychologically, all that stuff. You're going to sit down and have tests and by professionals. What are you going to do? Tell me about your mother. Write down, what is a mother to you? Write down, what is a father to you? What does that mean to you? And you spot all kinds of definitions, all kinds of statements of what they are. And that governs us when I talk about God the Father. If I don't straighten that out, I'm going to bring subconsciously even my understanding of men and father into God. We do the same with promises. God makes exceedingly wonderful promises that are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But we make promises. People make promises. Who keeps promises? We come to God's promises, the way we keep promises. And we treat God like that. We treat God Father. I'll bet you, if I was betting, Father. We need to understand God as Father, as He is God. Father isn't like anyone. Don't even bring any, there's no illustration. We're created. He's the Creator. Don't make idols out of humans. Don't do that. You want to come to God, you got to get rid of it all in a good way. Now, having said that, so therefore, who am I? Where did I come from? To whom do I belong? Where am I? Why am I here? Etc. And Israel, Israel, what did you do? Well, without turning there, Israel, what did you do? Well, Israel, what are you going to say when you're going to see the, look at the second coming, Isaiah 63. And when you do, you don't have to turn there, and Isaiah 64. And you know what they're going to say in the coming, in the millennium. What are they, what's Israel going to say? Our father, we didn't honor you. I'm using an extra word here. We didn't honor you. We didn't understand you are our father. We didn't understand. How many believers understand? He's your father if you're saved. Now, I know you're not. It's Father's Day, and Father's good for you. And I know, you know. This isn't about my father. It's you, Father. All the rest of us shrink into the dust, rightly. Wow. Now, having said that, so God, you're to be recognized in your wonderful person and way. Over to John chapter 1. That was what the whole purpose of the Gospel of John, written by the last living apostle, is about God. All of history, secular and sacred, it's all about God in your wonderful, wonderful person. And thus, God, so God, you're going to help us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, you made up, you're the Creator. That's absolutely right. I am the Creator. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the purpose of the Word, of God the Son, is to make known God the Father in a very spectacular and wonderful way. And He became born of Bethlehem of Judea. The Word became flesh, child is born, a son is given, Isaiah 9:6. Now slide down to verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's His wonderful, which is in the bosom of the Father, out of the Father, God Himself, hath declared, has exegeted Him. So God, what is the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ? To show the Father. All the way through, we've been studying John. It's all the way. I do nothing of myself. I'm trying to tell you and help you understand Him that sent me. My words, my works, my witness is all about God. See me, see God. That's what I want you to do. See? About God. We're going to know God. That's right. That's the whole purpose. Wonderfully, wonderfully. God, God in your wonderful revelation. Now, having said that little bit, so knowing that God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you're able to say, Exodus 3:14, I am that I am has sent me. I am, I am. And we're able to say, how are we going to say I am in the New Testament, like Jesus said, I am the bread of life and everything. But how else are we going to say it? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He, what? That He is. I am, He is. God is. You understand? You start with God. It isn't all about us coming, going, work, home, school, life, living, dying. God, there has to be more than that. That's right. A unique relationship to you, God, as Father. Wonderfully, wonderfully. To know Him, real and rightly. To be able to take our understanding and look to Him with all our heart. Now, you know we studied, in the light of our study of the Gospel of John, we prepared ourselves with chapter 13 a little better by studying Matthew chapter 18 and Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 22, Matthew chapter 18, and what do we find out? Except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't get in. And we shared that. A little child. Uh-huh. Got to be a little child. What are little children? They belong to a father. You're the creator of us. That's correct. So when us adults come, we're to come understanding we're the created, and we come to the Creator. We are not big shots or nothing. We're not even little shots. Here we are. We're going to come, God, as little children, dependent, wonderfully conscious. That's why the little child came in Matthew 18. There's no fuss with little child. Romans chapter 1, God makes everybody know anyway. When they're little, they all know, as we share together. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in John chapter 4. On your way, by the way, at John chapter 3, you'll recall, verse 3, John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So God, we got to have, you made it, gave us a physical birth in order that we might have a spiritual birth. Now, we can't have a spiritual birth if we're only flesh, going back to the dust of the ground. How are you going to have spiritual birth? You aren't made for it. You're all dusty. You belong in the dust. No, we're more than dust. We have a soul and spirit. We belong to God. In a wonder. So God, you allowed us to be born physically so that we could wonderfully be born spiritually. You died on the cross for us before the foundation of the world. Now, so John chapter 4. John in chapter 4. And if I can, in verse 23. Our Lord said it to the woman at the well, The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God, you created us, that's right. And you want us to recognize you as the only God, the only Savior, you are the Creator. And we want to understand that, to give you the reverence, the honor, and the respect of being who you are. You can understand, I am, said God. You must know that He is, I am. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, remember 5, 6, and 7, that God was helping the Jewish people understand, can we have the Messiah the King without the cross, without a Savior? Can we have that? God, why don't you just step right up and put Pontius Pilate out of business? And put Herod out of business, and step in and take over. That's what they wanted. Now, so that's chapter 5, 6, and 7. Now, in the light of that, and all of the rest of that, picking up, if I may, apart from that, in the 5, 6, and 7, God, what are you going to tell us? I want to know about you. Apart from the cross, you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and what am I to understand about you? And 17 times is the word Father, over and over and over. It's all about knowing the Father. Do you understand? He's God the Creator and the Savior. All about knowing Him. Thus, if you can, in chapter 5, verse 16, all over the place, we'll just do a couple. Let your light so shine, 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men, reason, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 4, thine alms that may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And you're going to keep reading and reading verse 6 and the end of the verse. I'll read the whole thing. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall hear reward thee openly. So you're going to keep reading about the Father, the Father, the Father. Verse 9. And after this manner also, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so we're going to go over and over and over again all about the Father. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast. In other words, you don't make a big to-do about it. But unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee open. So God, if I'm going to read, when you're the boss, what are we all going to know? We're all going to know you're the Father. So what are we going to know? You're the Father. What about our Father? No, our fathers shrink in the light of you, God. There's no contrast. We only have any significance because of you. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, and looking to that, and sliding over, I can, to verse 45, chapter 5. And verse 45. Chapter 5 and verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Now the main point. Be ye therefore perfect, complete, whole, complete, fulfill your goal. The word perfect reaches to fulfill the goal, to fulfill the purpose, to fulfill what's it all, what do you want about? What's the purpose? Therefore be perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You need to be perfect, complete, wanting nothing is the word. Full, complete, wanting nothing. Well, how can that be? Because if you're going to have me as king, and you're going to have me as your father, and you're going to be my children, then you're my children, you're my family, and everything is going to be good. Between the father and the children that are obedient, if you love your parents, love the father, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Now, and in the process, now, perfect. And God, you expect that. That's right. You want me to be your God. I expect you to be like me. But we can't be. That's the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments, to wake me up. I can't be it. God, I'm going to have to look to you. That's correct. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. So therefore, God, we're looking to you. And, by the way, take time. Over, if you would. Ephesians. God, do you expect this? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm looking for. Now, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, that's why we're gathered together according to his word, honoring his word, his person, his work. And here we are together on the Lord's Day. Verse 12, 4:12. For the purpose of God's gifting of pastors and evangelists and everything. For the perfecting, making ready, perfecting of the work of the saints, for the work, for the ministry, for the be able to serve. Serve what? To serve the body. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? We're all here trying to make sure we stay healthy, wealthy, and wise in our hearts spiritually so that we can help each other. We don't even know it, but as we stay healthy and not unhealthy, as we stay, then what's going to be happening? What should be happening? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity and oneness of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, now there's your little word, Matthew 5, unto the word perfect, complete, full, purposeful, a perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure, how much, of the stature, that's their growth, of the fullness of Christ. What are we supposed to be doing? God, you made it possible by the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, to know you so that what? So that we could be just like you, Father. You want us to be children that represent you. Don't your children represent you? They represent you, good or bad, right or wrong. And remember, most of the time, you want to be careful. Thank God you get saved. God help us in the midst of it all. Now, so God, what are we looking for? God, we're looking to grow and be perfect. And you expect that. Absolutely. So what I say to the king, Matthew chapter 5, that's what should be if you knew me. I have to go to the cross to make that happen. I'm going to go to the cross, and when I go to the cross, I'm going to make it happen. Verse 13, perfect. Over, if you would please, to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, picking up again, if I may, in the wonderful statement when we get saved, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And thus God, the Son, is to make known God the Father. That's right. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. What, that doesn't sound like a nice, comfortable job. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:13, to present you perfect. The preaching, God help us. You have no idea. I don't either. To make you perfect. It isn't to make it pleasant or nice. It's to make you perfect, like the Father, to know him. So if you're looking for a joyride, as you know, well, no, it isn't. It's to penetrate and prick your heart and mind, to change us. And if we don't get changed, we're in trouble. We don't change. We got to change. And God, that's what you're doing. And thus, Colossians and chapter 4. Colossians in chapter 4. Ephesus 4 and 12. Who is one? 4 and 12 of Colossians. Ephesus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He's with you, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So what are we doing with each other? Perfecting, not making us comfortable with our personalities, our idiosyncrasies. That would be no unity anywhere if you do that. There isn't any. Little clubs and groups and discontent and otherwise. The only unity you have is in the person of Jesus Christ when he gets a hold of you. And he changes your life. Otherwise, you sit there. Listen, you all know this better than I do. We don't have it. You got to have that. God, you got to have the fervor, the fight, to run the race. God, you're my Father. I'm a child. That's correct. Wow. So, God, I need to honor that in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that, so that over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's a wonderfully simple thing I'm trying to help you with. I may not help you with it. It is so exceedingly simple. And understandable. I mean, it's God. Here we are. Chapter 14. Chapter 14 of John. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, verse 6, John 14, 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, none, no one, cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't come to the Father. You can't know the Father apart from the Son. You can't do it. It ain't going to happen. And I know Unitarianism and the fatherhood of God and all that stuff. Come on. You guys, my aunt was a Unitarian when I was raised up in Carlisle on the farm. That was a Unitarian. She went there, and anyway, her sister, my mother, went to the Congregational Church, the only two things in town. Wow. Unitarian. My father, come on. All you got to do is test everything. Test the reality of it. You know, I believe this and I believe. Test the reality. Find this reality. Don't you want reality? Want real, right? I don't want to make believe. I'm not going to have make believe is nothing. A joyride to nowhere. Like the song, chasing the devil's herd in the sky. An endless task. Never to catch them. Never to win. Endless. Wow. God, so we don't want that. We're looking to you. That's right. And verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding places with him. So when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, I receive God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. I got him. I got the whole, wow, that's what happened when you got saved. And that's how I say. So I, when I receive Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's the Father. God, my Father. That's right. Wow. Now, over if you would, please. Go where? Luke chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12. Our Lord's going to say it all kinds of different ways in the Gospels for us. And here's one of them. Luke chapter 12. May I pick up, please? Picking up, please, in verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mind. In other words, don't worry. Why? Verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now your Father knows that. My Father knows that. All the things we're worried about. As adults, we worry about them, and we have nowhere else to give our worries. So we have to worry all by our lonesome. But the little child, like to be childlike, the little child doesn't have to worry. The little child sees the problem, the broken doll, an empty plate, whatever it is, and the little child sees the Father. And the little child knows the Father is going to fix it. Wow. Your Father knoweth what you need. If you have a father, when was the last time you thought of him as father, enjoyed him as father? When's the last time you did that? Say, well, I'm an adult. Listen, be of good cheer. I'm going to add 30 years to your life. Now let's see what kind of an adult you are. You'll be 30 years longer on earth. But tell me what kind of adult you are. Wow. No. No, God, no. We're trying to wake up early. We don't want to do late. Therefore, Therefore, verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God, in your wonderful, wonderful grace, you do this wonderful stuff for us. So God, you want God's wonderful care, God's wonderful care making you, as you trust him, God's wonderful care making what? His wonderful care for you makes you carefree. So that you can be carefree in all of your care. I care about this, I care about that, but I don't overcare. God, I'm carefree. So I don't have to sit, well, how's it going to work and what's going to happen and this is how it, no, we drop all that because God, you told us what? To be carefully carefree in all our care. So we don't have to, we got a Father. I have a Father. Father. Did you ever say that, my Father? You know, I'll give you a little illustration. Not much good, really. But one day, I think I did it somewhere, but we got to have an illustration, maybe. And in the process, I have a son, or somebody, I can't tell you who. And in the process, he was little. And there was a big dog or something out here, over here at the time when we lived here, whatever. And I was in the office downstairs, looking out the window, and the big dog was coming, and my little son was out there. And so I stepped outside, and my son went and grabbed my leg and shook his hand at that dog. That's what you do. You have a Father so that you can shake your finger at all the stuff that you'd worry about, wonder about, want, and wish. Wow. I got to quit. I'm going to try to do another part because we didn't get very far. I hope you get anything. I'm trying to get you to understand. You have to understand God is the Father, whether you like it or not. When people are in hell, they're going to know God is the Father. You understand? The lake of fire, forever. They're going to know God is the Father. That's right. And why they have to go there? Because they refused his love. And his love demands something. That's why punishment. That's why it has to be. Wow. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. Father's Day. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace and your mercy. So, thank you very much. Thank you for being who you are, wonderfully who you are. God, we're so... Help us. God, no one like you. No one like you. God, we love you with all our heart. We want what you want. We want it the way you want it. We want all of your good, glorious will. We want to see the glory. You said it. You're the Father of glory. That's what we want. We want you to be glorified in our little hearts, in our little assembly, and all of thy people across the face of the earth. And our God, our Father, we look to you to deal with us. In Christ's name, amen.